For May 25th, 2017, this is episode 63 of the PHP Roundtable. Today, the PHP Roundtable joins forces with PHP Ugly and PHP Town Hall to record during the community night at PHP Tech 2017. I'm your host, Sammy K. Powers. Welcome. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. You are in this room, and you will probably start ignoring us very soon because that's what happened last year. But what we're doing is a three podcast mashup of the PHP Roundtable, PHP Town Hall, and PHP Ugly. So with the PHP Roundtable, you're used to getting these people talking about talking around a roundtable and roundtable type discussions. You're going to get that. You're also going to get the random conversations that you hear from PHP Ugly about doom and gloom and all that kind of stuff. And you're also going to get the drunken debauchery that you're used to hearing on PHP Town Hall. A little combo of all the things. So I'm Sammy K. Powers. I'm the host of the PHP Roundtable.
I'm Amanda Folsen. I am one of the hosts of PHP, PHP Town Hall. And what's that? The name of that podcast? Yeah, I need more to drink.
And I'm Eric Johnson. I'm one of the hosts of PHP Ugly.
And I'm John Congdon, another host of PHP Ugly. And we don't have the third one here.
And we are also joined by Matt Trask, who's hanging out there. I don't know if we can hear him either.
Can you hear me?
No, I don't think
Matt looks left. Like he might be lost on the island somewhere. Some help.
I'm not. Here.
Oh, we can hear.
Can you hear me too?
Yes.
There we go.
Woo! All right, we have everybody we need.
Can we start off with where are you, Matt Trask? Are you like in a parking lot?
I'm in Nashville at a. I'm actually at the Python meetup.
Oh, okay, so you're cheating on them with PHP, I see.
Here's lovely Nashville, Tennessee, if anyone can see it.
Well, you should be in Atlanta, just by the way.
Yeah, well, I moved away from there a few months. Great poor timing.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started about something that's very near and dear to my heart. If we can find Mr. Joe Ferguson, he's there in the back. You can't miss him. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about open sourcing mental illness. And if you're not familiar, well, Joe will definitely fill you in. But they are doing a fundraiser that, we're trying to raise some money. So without further ado, here's Joe.
Hi, I'm Joe. I am a board member for Open Sourcing Mental Illness. Yes, we do things. So Open Sourcing Mental Illness is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that strives to talk about mental illness in the tech community, specifically the tech community, because we have found through our research that a lot of people in the tech community have mental health issues. And a lot of them go undiagnosed. Our founder, Ed Finkler, has a talk that he's done that a lot of you have probably seen, where he talks about some of the things that he does and some of the medications he takes. And that's kind of led him into starting the organization. And we have a board of directors that helps Ed. Ed's about to go full-time working on OSMI now. So that's a really, really big deal. We're currently working on a fundraiser to raise money for this year, as well as raise money for Ed's salary now. So if you want to go to osmihelp.org/donate, you can give us all your money, or a lot of your money, your pick. We also have some really cool stuff that you get for donating, such as red Laravel elephants signed by Taylor Otwell himself. Taylor just shipped those back to Ed, so unless somebody hijacks the shipment, we're getting those very soon.
I maybe hijacked that shipment. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about some of the resources that OSMI has put out for people.
So the primary resources that we've done in conjunction with some actual doctors, because we're just developers and what do we know? So we actually got in touch with some doctors to help us write three manuals or guidebooks or handbooks that we put out. One of them is an employer's guide to responsibilities around the Americans with Disabilities Act or the ADA law and their responsibilities around their employees with mental health issues. There's also a second guidebook that is the exact opposite, is an employee's guide for ADA law to their responsibilities to their employer. And the third one is just kind of a generic WTF is ADA law kind of one, and we give those away for free. Just like the name implies, open sourcing mental illness, we are actually trying to be as open as we possibly can. We open source everything we do as much as we can. Almost everything we generate is Creative Commons licensed. And we do a annual mental health and tech survey. We're about to start working on our fourth or fifth one, I believe. And we open source all of that data on a platform called Kaggle.net, which is a data science platform where you as a data scientist could go and download all of our information and do all kinds of really cool data science things that I have no idea what they are. But essentially you can do, like, I just envision somebody sitting in their, like, their dungeon, like, taking all of our data into an amazing Excel spreadsheet and doing crazy graphs and stuff with it. I think that's what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty neat. So, yeah, a lot of people actually don't realize that there are a ton of mental health conditions that are actually protected in the workplace. So things like ADHD, your employer definitely has to make accommodations for stuff like that. So if you have any sort of mental health stuff, I definitely encourage you to check out those resources and maybe figure out what sort of accommodations you need and what your employer is actually going to offer to you or is required to offer to you.
We also have a podcast that I am now in charge of, and I believe we are now taking it seriously, as opposed to when we weren't taking it seriously before. At Lone Star, a month ago, at Lone Star PHP, I sat down with Eli White, who's the conference chair, obviously, of this wonderful event, PHP Tech, and talked about mental illness, and we recorded about an hour-long episode that went really, really well. Today, I sat down with one of the speakers here, Lindsay, and we recorded another episode that's a little bit shorter because I was on a time crunch, but I hope to release that next week, and we just invested in some legit recording gear so we can do this more.
Awesome. So if you didn't hear the URL, it's osmihelp.org. Definitely encourage you to check out those resources. Thank you, Joe.
All right, one quick announcement. Last call. If you want anything from the bar, go get it now.
Last call for alcohol.
Last call for alcohol. Good call. Last call for alcohol. Somebody give me one, please. Ben Ramsey is the guy who's sitting here in the stage, on the stage. I don't know prepositions. You are next. You are the next person. So this is Ben Ramsey, everyone. This is a very important community member for PHP and knows which way to go. I actually didn't write down what topic you were going to be talking about, and we probably didn't have one. What? Oh, UUID. Okay. Oh, great. So you are the package manager or maintainer and creator of the UUID library, which is a library that generates UUIDs, and it does it in a lot of different ways. There's the random way. There's the date way. There's all kinds of ways of generating UUIDs. And I noticed recently...
There are five ways.
I you're very specific. This man knows his RFCs, by the way. So there was... First of all, I want to talk about two things that come to mind immediately. First of all, the issues that you had when you had when you were dealing with duplicated random UUIDs in the library and kind of the reasons behind that. And the second is a recent internals discussion about adding UUID to the standard lib. So let's start with the first one. What was the matter with the random UUIDs that were a scenario where the random UUIDs, which were never supposed to duplicate, ended up being duplicated in certain scenarios?
Yeah, we had some users who were... A thread got opened as an issue on GitHub, and it was reporting that we had... That someone was encountering duplicates, and they were saying something to the effect of it might happen like once every day. Every 24 hours, they were hitting a duplicate. And then they found that just restarting the server, restarting Apache, would solve that. And we kind of scratched our heads over this for a long time. I talked to Anthony Ferrara about it. I talked to several other people. And finally, I think it was Scott... what is...
Arsizuski?
Is that how you say his last name?
Are you talking about the crypto guy?
Yes.
Yeah, Scott Arsizuski.
I think he was also looking at it with us as well. And then discovered this weird kind of hidden wiki page on the OpenSSL website that basically said, hey, this random byte generator that we have, if it's stuck in a single thread, did you just get two glasses?
I may have just got two. I think this is for someone else, right? Or for everybody? This is
for you.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers.
Wait, cheers. Thank you, Joe Ferguson and Philip Shipley.
Where's my wine?
I don't remember what I was saying now. It was not interesting at all.
UUID, so duplicate situations.
OpenSSL sucks.
OpenSSL, yes.
That's what it is.
Scott Arsuzuski.
We found out that OpenSSL, if you have one thread open for long enough, it will start repeating the same random bytes again. And when you run PHP in Apache, you're running it in a thread that sometimes doesn't die. It just, you know, it'll start just replaying the same random bytes over. I don't know if I described that very well, but that's what was happening. And that's why when these users decided that they would just bounce Apache once every 24 hours, that's because that was the time it took for the amount of traffic they were getting to start repeating the bytes.
Gotcha.
And they found that they would bounce it and that would work. Well, you know, we found this out and decided that OpenSSL just wasn't going to be the right tool for generating random bytes. I think around this time you were working on the random bytes implementation for PHP 7, and Scott was working on, he had a random bytes compat library, and he decided to drop OpenSSL support from the random bytes compat library. So this affected a lot of different projects when we found this out, and ultimately just led to us, you know, most everyone who was using the pseudo random bytes generator from OpenSSL to no longer use it anymore. It's still acceptable if you're using it in scripts, but probably not if you're using it in a long-running process environment.
So it wasn't that people were using something like pthreads where they were creating multi-threaded environments as much. It was Apache creating the multi-threads that was causing the leakiness between the memory.
Well, those Apache threads Apache will open up so many, it'll allocate so many, workers isn't the right term for it, but I think it'll allocate so many threads that just kind of sit there running, and they'll accept requests and then respond. You can kind of tweak it to have so many running initially, and then it'll start up new ones as too many requests come in. So that's what was happening, that they had requests that were just staying open, or not the request, the threads that were responding to requests were staying open.
So in PHP 5X, what is the default C-spring that you fall back to in the UUID lib for random?
So we started using the random compat library because the default is now random bytes. And on 5, random compat defaults to, what do they default to? I don't know that off the top of my head right now. Does anyone know?
I'm assuming it's probably mcrypt create IV or reading directly from dev/urandom.
It falls back through a variety of things. I don't know what the default one is, but I know that if you have libsodium installed, for example, it'll use that. And Scott's working on getting libsodium into the core. So that's a thing now. So we've got a lot of cool stuff going on with regard to pseudo-random number generators and cryptography. And I think, you know, I don't think this was necessarily a major factor in that, but I like to think that it helped contribute to an awareness of these things.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to shift the conversation a little bit towards the recent conversations in PHP Internals mailing list, which was somebody submitted a pull request to add UUID to the standard lib in PHP 7.2, I believe. So the question, I actually came to you a while ago asking, like, hey, have you thought about adding your library to standard lib before? And you gave some reasons I can't remember. But what are your thoughts on adding something like UUID to PHP standard lib?
So I only found out about this yesterday because Marco Pavetta tagged me on the pull request. And I went and looked at it. My first reaction is, you know, something like, this is bullshit. I have a library. That's like what's going through my head. No, I didn't respond that way, though. I was nice. He just said, take a look at this pull request at the implementation. I haven't really been able to kind of go through the C source yet. The implementation will only do version 3, version 5, and version 4 UUIDs. He's not trying to implement version 1, which is the time-based one. And the reason for that, specifically according to the RFC, which he actually just wrote the RFC today and posted that. So that's on the PHP wiki now. He didn't want to do version 1 because of security and privacy issues. So a time-based UUID also puts in the MAC address of the machine on which it was generated. That's the last, most significant bytes of the UUID, and so that can be a privacy issue, right? the Ramsey UUID library allows you to specify that. So you can inject whatever MAC address you want, or you can let the system MAC address be part of that. So it's just helpful to be aware of, you know, how they get generated when you choose to use a UUID, because it could have the MAC address in it, which may or may not be a big deal. Some people find that as a feature because, you know, you could then, like, if you knew the MAC addresses of all your systems, which none of us probably know that anymore because we're all on, you know, instances that are short-lived, but if you did know them, you would know exactly what machine generated that UUID, if that were important. Anyway, so I took a look at it, a brief look at it. I read through his RFC today. He does reference, you know, my library. I think my main comment was basically, I don't see this as a competing thing. If anything, if this were accepted in, I would just wrap it with my library to provide the additional functionality on top of it, and it would, you know, just be another. There would be another adapter for it. So instead of using random bytes, I'd probably just use the native UUID functionality for Ramsey UUID. But, you know, it also begs the question of, you know, in a PHP 7 world, what is suitable for userland versus core? And a lot of userland code runs much faster than it ever did before, and we have the flexibility to make changes rapidly in userland code. And with semantic versioning, we're, you know, able to roll out changes and people can kind of follow those changes and upgrade as they need to or not upgrade, whereas core will move much slower. And once something goes into core, it's harder to change any backwards compatibility in it. It becomes a different kind of beast.
I certainly see that there's many times where I like the convenience of just pulling a UUID because it happens so many times in the projects that I use. But I can also see the, like you just said, that sort of slow process of getting things changed and always worrying about backwards compatibility like no other project on the planet. PHPC BC is amazing. And the issue that you brought up about security is, you know, leaking the MAC address is probably something to be concerned about. Like unique ID, I know if you say more entropy, it leaks so much information about the system that in the past has been used as an exploit to exploit the random number generators in the past. So that's a very serious concern, and I think those things could be fixed much faster in user land. So do you think that this is something that, what is your prediction on whether this is going to get added to core or not? Or do you have a prediction?
I don't have a prediction right now. I mean, it looking at the comments on the PR, there were a bunch of kind of code review comments. No one seemed against it. I read the thread on internals. No one really seemed against it there either. There was some question about, you know, does this belong in user land versus the core? I think we'd have to wait and see, you know, how this matures, you know, as the author takes feedback from people and implements that, and then kind of when it gets brought for a vote, I really don't know. I haven't talked to enough people to know like how other people feel about it or whether it would be a good addition or not a good addition. And there's already a Peckl extension that uses libUUID. Now that can't be used on Windows. So this is more of a cross-platform thing. Under the hood, all it uses is random bytes. I mean, it's just using that same implementation for the random UUID, and then it uses the built-in MD5 and SHA-1 stuff for the V3 and V5 UUIDs.
Sweet. Anybody else got anything?
So I guess my question would be, do you think it's going in or an RFC because it's stable enough at this point, or are you making enough changes that you think it should be held off?
And so, I mean, this is completely separate from my library, right? So to answer your question, I think that one of the biggest arguments I think that the author of this RFC was trying to make was that looking at the downloads of the Ramsey UUID package, it's very clear that more and more people are using UUIDs these days than they were just a couple of years ago. And as the usage and need for that grows, that maybe something like this belongs in the standard library. But in terms of differences between it and my package, I don't see a big kind of over. I mean, it has a little bit that looks like my library, but not a lot. It's very simple. It's just providing a UID class to generate a UID.
Stop talking about you for a moment. No, just kidding. As somebody who's so important to the PHP, PHP community, and a PHP package maintainer, I'm always curious, what package do you see as missing in the community right now? What good package still needs to be developed and needs to be put out there?
Like a user land package or anything? Oh, okay.
Way to bring the show to a halt. Go
ahead, take your time.
This is why we don't ask the hard questions.
We now have dead air. It's like the radio announcer's worst nightmare. There was not a green room to prepare me for up here. I'll tell you what I would like to see in the core that I think is missing.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think of some recent stuff I had been looking for userland-wise and couldn't find, and nothing's coming to mind right away. The big thing that I would like to see in core, and Sarah Goldman asked this question on Twitter a couple weeks ago maybe, I think she asked, what should I work on, you know, is generics.
Yes.
I would love to see generics
I second
in the
core.
That. Cool, thank you.
Thanks, Ben. You're amazeballs. Appreciate it.
So next up, we have Stephen Wade, who's going to talk to us. Yeah. I don't think he knew who he was. But he's got a lot of really cool stuff going on, so he's going to talk to us about that. You're welcome to bring your drink, sir.
He's not even drinking. He's not qualified to come up here.
Would definitely love to hear about this awesome tattoo that you have.
Oh, okay, yeah. That is my wife's initials in binary.
That's awesome.
So she used to be a math teacher, so she has my initials inside of an infinity symbol. So I wanted to do something that was kind of nerdy, but also me. I'm surprised by the number of people who actually know what binary is, but they don't know what this is.
Yeah, no, I definitely knew it was binary. I just wondered what the significance of that was. So that's actually really cool.
I was very nervous going into it. I didn't want to be one of those people who got, the Chinese symbol that means nothing.
Yeah.
And so I checked it with, many online resources. I wrote, a program to translate it to binary because I don't know binary. And then after I had, 10 sources that said this is all the same output, I was like, okay. I feel confident.
Oh, yeah. No, you definitely need to verify that stuff. I would have done the exact same thing. So you have a lot of stuff going on. So let's start with Upstate PHP, if you want to talk a little bit about that. So how long has that group been around?
We've been around a little over 3 years. We started in, whatever year it is, minus three. Now I can't
math
remember.
Math is hard.
2014,
that
I guess.
That explains why you can't do
Yeah. I had actually never been to a user group before, and so I kind of just got started. It was that whole thing, if there's not one, you're supposed to start it. And one day, and I'm, shy. I don't know why I'm in front of everyone here, but I'm also, I don't like to meet new people. But then randomly, it just hit me. I was like, I kind of want to do this. And so I started the user group, and I knew two other PHP devs in my city that were good buddies of mine. And then first night, 18 people showed up. And so I had no idea we had that kind of community, which was kind of cool. So we've been going strong for a little over 3 years now. It's kind of keeping it consistent.
I think there's some heckling going on.
I thought he was missing.
Yeah, ignore these Yahoos. And that Yahoo
Stupid
just...
Matt.
You Southerners, just ruining everything for us. We have random guests.
Say hello to Jock Woodcock, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
What are you all drinking? That's an important question. We need to know what you're drinking.
We're dry right now.
Yeah. We're kind of sober.
I did hit the cocktail bar before I got here.
He didn't tell me about that, so I'm sober.
Absolutely unacceptable. I'm disappointed.
It is. Can you,
very
can you
disappointed.
Send us something? Uber deliver us something.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing, isn't it?
Amazon yeah, do that. Doesn't do alcohol yet.
Okay.
What the hell?
Back to Upstate PHP. what we were trying to talk about before you hecklers got out of the way. So roughly how many people do you have in the group now?
Well, we have a lot of people in the group, but how many people do we get to come out every month?
Well, first one and the other.
I think we have about 50 that are active in the online community. And we average somewhere between, 8 and 15 every month, which is good. We were averaging probably mid-20s for the first year and a half. And then for whatever reason, everybody kind of dropped off, you know. I think one of our guys dropped off because he became a comedian. So,
as one does.
You can't fault him for that. But yeah, no, if you ever come by our group, you may or may not hear about PHP. My philosophy is, which then is the group's philosophy, is PHP is a gateway drug. And so it's not the only tool in our belt. It's a lot of the times the first tool that we go to for web development, but that it's web development extends beyond that. So we have a lot of front-end talks. We have had also a lot of comparison talks, like PHP to Ruby, PHP to Go, and PHP to, I can't remember what it is now. As they've all actually been done by the same guy, good buddy of mine, Barry Jones. Every year it's kind of onto a new language. So every year around the same time in the fall, I kind of expect him to come to me and say, I found this new thing, and I'm like, compare it to PHP and come give a talk. He does. Elixir, that was what it was.
Okay.
So we had PHP versus Elixir.
Awesome. So been around for 3 years. You got quite a lot of members, and you just did a hackathon as well, right? Was that part of Upstate, or was that something completely different?
It's not part of Upstate PHP, but it's part of another organization that I'm a member of and on the board of called Open Upstate. We started years ago by a guy named Benjamin Young, and he started it as a kind of a user group for people who wanted open data. Then it became a user group for user group organizers, and then it became this big vision that he wanted, and then he shared it with me, and then he just didn't have the time, so we've kind of passed the torch a little bit. But our vision is to kind of be facilitators in the area, and kind of, we don't want to be everything. At one point we wanted to be everything for everybody, and now it's kind of like all these other organizations kind of have their niche. We have Code for Greenville, which is a member of the Code for America Brigade, and they're doing a lot of kind of great things in our city. But we at Open Upstate, we want to kind of facilitate them. We want to be able to fill in the gaps where need be. Part of it is something we want to work towards is becoming a nonprofit organization and actually being able to take monetary donations to where and support other groups where, like, if the user group drops off, instead of just letting the group die, we could actually have somebody come in as the organization and keep it going for a certain period of time. So this was kind of our first event that we've organized with that. And it started out as a conversation of, hey, maybe we should participate in Open Data Day. But nobody was available. And it was coming up, like, I think in February. And we were like, holy crap, it's actually kind of like in 2 weeks. We can't put this together. And so we kind of said, we picked a date in May. And then we, from there, did a two-track session, actually. So we had Open Data folks doing their hackathon. And we also had another group working with SC Codes, another organization that teaches people how to code. And this was kind of like their graduation. So they came on and they actually learned how to commit their first pull request.
Oh, that's awesome. So is the SC Codes thing, I know the South Carolina government is doing a lot with like software and promoting people learning about code. Is that related to that at
it
all?
Is. Actually, okay. So they actually got a grant from the South Carolina government to run their first pilot year this year.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So in case you're not familiar, South Carolina is doing a lot to promote not just open source development, but people learning how to code in general. So if you were in South Carolina, definitely check that out because they're putting a lot of money into that.
Steve, where'd you get them their fancy socks at?
They came in my little swag bag. I don't remember whose socks they belong to, but SiteGround socks.
They look amazing.
And I just now, a few months ago, I was like, I graduated from like the, you know, sixth grader high ankle white socks to wearing funky socks, and I like it now. So
yeah, no,
nice.
I'm also on Team Funky Socks.
Oh yeah, Team Funky Socks. Ooh. Cookie
there
Monster.
Go.
Here we go. Duck Hunt shoes. Ooh, are you cereal?
Yeah.
Cereal. Oh, look at that. Duck Hunt, indeed.
The little dog is on the side.
And the dog on the side.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you say game over on the bottom?
Game over on the bottom?
Yeah.
Wait. You should see it to the GoPro. Maybe the GoPro will show. There we go. Game over.
So you've got Vans on, though. So like I recently just recommitted to Converse. I was like, you know, I want to be a Chucks guy. And so finally, like a couple months ago, I was like, I'm going to be a Chucks guy. So I've got three pairs of Chucks now.
So I do both. I have a lot of like really crazy Converse stuff. So I think my favorite, I have these Andy Warhol ones that have like the Campbell Soup logo on them. They're amazing. So those are my favorites. And then, yeah, I have really weird Nintendo Vans as well. So weird shoes, weird hats, weird socks. I'm all about it.
Weird community.
Yeah, that's actually very, very true. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
I think that's it. Thank you
all
for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Jason.
This Jason.
Jason.
We know this Jason. This Jason should come up.
Come on, Jason. You're standing there. You're looking a little lost.
Jason McCreary, right?
You get a friend.
Am I saying that right?
That's right. I go by J-Mac.
J-Mac, that's right.
Yeah, J-Mac, because exactly that reason. There's like 100 other Jasons, so.
So what you been up to, Jason?
I started a new job, actually, consulting with one of the pizza companies, international pizza companies.
Yeah?
It's fun, but it's
I hear you've been getting some things done.
Getting some yeah. things done, yes.
See?
Yeah, separate
from
the new job.
Showmanship right there. You need to understand.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's I had a release of a video series on Git. Obviously, the topic's been covered, but I've kind of been on a mission, I guess, the last year to help people get more like empowered with it. Mm-hmm. Or I think, as we said on the chat,
Layer Chat Live. That's right.
Yes, placement. Get comfortable. So, but yeah, basically. I feel like a lot of developers are kind of just scratching the surface with like git add and git commit and these like steps that they memorize, and that's about it. What's he giving me trouble about?
You should buy Laravel Shift.
Thank you. More product
Jason
placement.
Will pay me later.
So yeah, but anyways, basically, yeah, instead of just kind of like memorizing git commands, you can kind of go in and learn all of them.
Thank you for not missing that one important F in that last message. We all appreciate it.
So we do have to talk socks for just a second, because I did notice that you got some lightning bolts going on here.
Yeah, the superhero ones. I put these on, Twitter earlier, and I was told to take my feet off the table, so they're on the floor now, at least one of them.
So I'm curious, you started video series. You've done video series in the past, right?
No, I haven't. This is kind of my first foray into it. I definitely asked Adam Wathen a lot about like kind of how he does the setup. So again, even though it's a topic that's been covered a lot, for me it was also interesting just to kind of release a series. That way in the future there is maybe a more cutting edge topic that I want to cover. I have my feet wet on how I like to record and set them up and, get them out there, publish them, and so forth. So, because there's some stuff you got to do there to make that happen. It's not hard, but just think through.
Well, I have to say, I'm really envious that you have this product that you had made, with the video screencast stuff. That's something that I'm like in the back of my head. I was like, I need to do this. Do you have any tips for anybody who's kind of been wanting to do it, like me? Do you have any tips for them to like get this idea from, like, I have some markdown notes about what I know, a general idea what I want to do, to here's a product with video screencasts? Kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, with any product, I actually really enjoy talking about product development. I guess I have a lot of strong opinions about it, but I guess the simplest thing is really, or the easiest thing to say is really just to start simple. So it's very easy initially to really overthink it and think like, I got to have the entire curriculum, and I got to have everything scripted out, and I got to like know my video format, and what am I going to record, and like in this case, I want to get my terminal all perfect, like. Just don't worry about those things, and just kind of start recording and start playing with it. Because, like, I did that for about a month where I tried to think through all the different scripting and exact curriculum and the order of every video. And, like, finally I just said, I'm just going to go in a room, like, Saturday, start recording several of these things and just kind of get a feel for it. And those first videos, I'll admit, they were kind of a throwaway. But to get that momentum, to get that ball rolling was, like, crucial. So the point is really just get the ball rolling.
Just start on it.
Yeah, just start on it, and I think it really flows from there. It's kind of the snowball effect.
It's like brainstorming. They teach you in school to just start writing, and then it eventually becomes something, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Do you have a good rule of thumb when you're trying to teach something on a screencast where you don't want to get too involved? Like, because you probably know the in and outs and the caveats and all the roads you could go down when you're teaching something. Do you have a good rule of thumb of like, okay, I'm only going to give them this much because this is as much as any human mind is going to be able to take versus I'm going to show them all the things all at once and make them overwhelmed?
I definitely have that problem sometimes, and I think for the video series, the Git and Git series especially, like I would write a lot on one command, and then I would go back and divide that up into kind of maybe more of the advanced options, for example. So like Git rebase, I just covered the basic Git rebase to kind of update a branch, right? And then I all the other things off, like the different commands or like the interactive rebasing, to kind of more of an advanced video or like a part two video. And I think that helped. But initially, again, just kind of to get that ball rolling, I just kind of wrote down everything I thought, was kind of cool and helpful about Git rebase, for example. And there it was.
I'm new to Git rebase. I watched Sarah Goldman do some Git magic, and when she fetched from upstream and did a Git rebase instead of a Git merge, which is what I always did, was a Git merge.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. So ever since I've seen that, I've done a Git rebase instead of a Git merge.
Yeah, I think there's, for that specifically, I think there's some, I guess, dogma or, you know, holy wars about, like, which one you want to do. I'm more in the rebase camp, just to put that out there. But it's definitely like one of those tab spaces arguments, like, oh, do you merge or do you rebase? And there's definitely an it depends scenario, but for the most part, development work to update, I'm more of a Git Rebase fan. So, but that particular video, Git Rebase, I will say is free, by the way. So if you want to get a sample of the video series, just because Rebase, again, is a command that I think is kind of one of the more complex ones, especially interactive. There's a lot of steps to it, and it can be intimidating at first. So that one's available for everyone.
The only
I will post it on Twitter or repost it on Twitter immediately following this.
Oh, nice. I think I only have one more question. What program did you use to capture your screen, to do your screencast with?
Again, I kept it really simple. So I have Mac OS, and I basically just started out with QuickTime and just did that for the audio recording, and actually did that, I think, for the screencast as well. But in the beginning, I mean, I was asking Adam, I was asking Jeffrey, I was asking all sorts of people that did videos, oh, what do you use, what do you use? And they all kind of, a couple of them had the same thing, and then some of them were like, oh, I just use this, and then they changed it later, and when I asked them again, and I was just like, I'm just going to start with QuickTime. So it covered it for me, and I think it did fine. The mic was important, you know. At first, I kind of used my headset, but then I bought, you know, like the Yeti or whatever, and that ended up being fine. Acoustics are interesting, so I made my pillow fort kind of thing. That was on Twitter at one point. So, yeah.
Nice. So I had a question for you. Being big in Laravel and the Laravel community, first thing, thank you for Laravel Shift.
Oh, thank you.
As one of the proprietaries of a consulting firm, you've saved me a lot of money by having that in place. But don't raise your rates. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Now, you built that, or quite affordable. You began to build that at PHP Tech in 2015 or 2016?
It was, what year is it now, 2017?
Yeah.
So it was fall, it was actually PHP World.
That's what I said.
So fall of 2015. It was right around Laravel 5.1, I believe, right before 5.2 came out. Mm-hmm. And Taylor was actually at PHP World that year. And he gave a talk about kind of what's up and coming in Laravel 5. And I remember catching him afterwards and bouncing some of these ideas off of him. Hey, do you know any stats about version counts and stuff? And hey, do you... what do you think about this? Like, what if I wrote like a script and put that out there? And he was like, "Oh, that'd be cool. Like, I'd use it." And I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna go check this out."
So. Oh, now were you already using Laravel at the time, or is this just something you figured you could tackle and take on?
At the time, I think I was consulting at an agency that had a lot of WordPress sites and then Laravel sites for things that were more custom. Mm-hmm. And I had gone through the process of like painfully upgrading a couple of those client sites, mm-hmm. from like 4.2 to 5. Mm-hmm. And each time, I'm you know, one of those lazy developers. So like each time I kind of added more and more to these scripts, like these custom scripts that I had, mostly just bash scripts at the time, shell scripts. So again, when I spoke with him at the conference, and actually I gave a talk on Laravel as well, kind of migrating to, mm-hmm. talk about what I'd learned. And I was just surprised that something maybe didn't exist, because it's common in maybe some other languages, and even PHP. Like, I remember CakePHP, for example, had an upgrade thing that was part of the framework. Mm-hmm. And even Laravel Spark now, if you're familiar with that, it upgrades the views in a very similar way. Like, if you haven't changed any of the customizations, it's just automatic if you're a Spark user to upgrade those views. So, you know, these are things that exist.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, let's do it for the app code, too. So.
Okay. Cool. So that was 2015. 2016, let's be honest, you slacked off a little.
I did slack off a little bit. More with conferences, so I spoke at several conferences in 2016. Hey, so
2017 is coming up. Any big plans?
I was hoping to go full-time this year, but I couldn't turn down all that pizza money that was coming in, so I'm staying with the full-time job for now. But maybe 2018, my goal is to revisit some testing frameworks for PHP. That's kind of my stretch goal for the fall. Uh-huh. I've had a BDD, I guess, testing toolkit, you could say, kind of spec-based. And I know some exist, but I feel like it's something that just never got revisited in PHP and never really gained traction. So I'm thinking of maybe doing some free videos and kind of touching up that topic and seeing what's up. What's Matt giving me shit about now? PHP unit. Oh, yes, PHP unit is absolutely awesome, I will say, and I obviously use it for a lot, but I think there's a different paradigm that's out there that has its own use as well, and it's not necessarily needing to be like a competition. So So I don't know. I'm trying it because I really enjoy that style of tests in other languages that I write. There are other languages than PHP, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. But yeah, so, you know.
Cool.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate all the advice you've been given. I'm going to steal your advice for the screencasts and stuff, just getting into it and just doing it.
Oh, it's totally fine. I'm going to go back to Catan now. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any final last thoughts, parting words?
No, I definitely would enjoy to speak on other podcasts, maybe about more general topics. Like I said, I've been doing development for almost 20 years now, so I'm really interested. I've built probably a dozen products over the years, so I love speaking about product development and just ways to make that faster. Actually, when I get back to Louisville, I speak at a local conference on those topics. So it's kind of a new area that I like speaking about. So
you're from Louisville?
I'm from Louisville.
I'm from Lexington. I grew up in Lexington.
Oh, so I was asking on Twitter the other day if anybody wants to ride with me down here. It was like an absolutely boring solo ride, especially with all the rain. Like going through Chattanooga was terrible. So
I live in Chicago now, but I grew up in Lexington.
Okay.
So
okay,
I know how to pronounce
Chicago.
It properly, Louisville instead of Louisville.
Yeah, Lexington's not. Oh yeah, Louisville or Louisville. That's the worst. Don't say that. Louisville is fine too. So
thanks so much for joining.
Thanks,
really appreciate it.
All right, we're going to bring up Justin Rehrman.
Justin?
Justin. Oh, there he
there
is.
There he is. Yes, so the first question Amanda asked.
Yeah. I got it from the bar downstairs.
Is that a screwdriver?
No, it is just rum and orange juice.
Okay, close enough.
It's nothing cool.
We'll allow it. Who are you and what are you doing?
I am a team lead for our PHP development team. I work for Travel Media Group in Orlando, Florida. We do hotel marketing. So reputation management, social media marketing, listing management. We've got lots of products.
Are you helping people get some of those negative reviews taken care of on Travelocity and all that fun stuff? Anything like that?
Our biggest product at the moment is, yeah, exactly that. So
okay.
When you check into a hotel and they ask for your email address, we send out an email, did you enjoy your stay? You say yes, awesome. Please fill out a review on TripAdvisor. You say no, let's keep that internal. And we do everything we can to try and get that issue resolved before it makes it to TripAdvisor. The ultimate goal is to drive up the star rating for a hotel on TripAdvisor or Google Plus or there's 13 different review sites that we do right now.
Okay, so this is sort of a random question, but I stay at hotels and things all the time. I travel a lot, as many people probably know. And I found that the hospitality industry is very, very slow to adapt to newer technology. Is that something that you run into ever working in this line of work? Random off-the-wall question.
Sometimes. So when you're dealing with global distribution systems for booking engines, you experience with hotels.com when you try and book a hotel, a lot of that stuff is through still SOAP and XML. We don't necessarily work on that side of things. A lot of the products that we deal with are, standard REST APIs that are custom built for exactly what we're trying to do.
Okay, is the, SOAP XML thing, is that because they maybe have some compliance thing that needs WS security, anything like that?
I'm not sure.
Not sure? Okay.
I'm not sure.
I know that's definitely
a
thing with banks.
Things would change.
Yeah, don't we all? You ever worked with HIPAA compliance? Because that's by far the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Not in my current job.
Okay.
I used to work in a mental health drug rehab facility for the Department of Corrections in the state of Florida. And in that position, yes, we dealt with HIPAA a lot.
Yeah, I definitely don't miss having to deal with that. I don't know if anybody else out there has had to deal with that, but it's not fun. Or PCI compliance. Compliance in general is just terrible. Necessary, but terrible.
No, especially HIPAA, because they even mandate what you're allowed to talk about with your coworkers.
So, Justin, tell me about your experience here at PHP Tech. I know you've got some other conferences planned this year. What's been your experience so far?
I have conferences planned for 10 years now, because this is my first conference outside of the drug rehab and that sort of situation. The community here has been fantastic. Samantha's talk this afternoon, she commented on a lot of people, and I've noticed that a lot of the people have kind of given me the same experience on my first go-around with this. So I'm definitely trying to get back to PHP World in November and Sunshine PHP in January, and I've even got plans in the works for PHP Tech again next year.
That's awesome. So this is your first conference ever outside of the world of what?
Outside of being a vendor at a conference.
Okay, cool. So if there's somebody who's maybe really wanting to get involved and wanting to go to a conference and maybe has some like little anticipations about that, do you have any advice for them? Just like what they might be able to expect? Just kind of relieve some of that the unforeseen stuff that might be kind of fearful.
So the way that I came about this has been kind of hectic. Just in the last 3 months or so, I've subscribed to 6 different podcasts, and I got a
3 of which you're on right now.
Yes. And then I've been anti-Twitter for a long time, and this conference has gotten me to sign up for Twitter, so definitely check out Twitter. It's amazing. And then, you know, Reddit has a lot of information. I know Reddit can sometimes be kind of cancerous in some situations. But yeah, the biggest thing is talk to people, get out, you know, meet people, try and, you know, introduce yourself to the rest of the community.
That's great. And I know there's like a lot of different people who maybe aren't comfortable approaching people, and they've been posting on Twitter like, hey, just come to me and ask me, you know, like say hi and stuff like that. And I feel like that's been a pretty cool strategy because they've been getting lots of highs from people, which is kind of cool. So I guess conferences are pretty good for, you know, like whatever kind of social situation you're in. Like everybody, I feel, hey, I'm just going to put this out here. I'm awkward. I love the awkward turtle. I find the awkward turtle very comfortable. So like when I go to a bunch of nerds, like.
See, you're doing the awkward turtle wrong. You're supposed to do it upside down.
Oh, upside down. That's even more awkward.
Yeah. Your turtle's not awkward unless it's upside down. Because
that's true.
I don't have the coordination for this, and there's like it's demented dolphin is happening right now. And
you can't look at your hands while
Mr.
you're doing
Ramsey
it.
Is taking a picture of that. I can't. No, like the thumbs move so much better that way. We have to debate the logistics of awkward turtle and what is more realistic. Anyway,
Absolutely. So
moving back to what we were talking about,
which is awkward. So the beautiful thing I love about hanging out with nerds because we're all awkward, it kind of makes it easy. Like it's just comfortable being awkward with other people who are awkward. Like just like I know so many people who feel awkward, and I'm like the same way. I'm like I feel awkward too. I just pretend like it's not awkward, and then it suddenly doesn't become awkward, but it's really awkward. So it's
and
okay.
Alcohol helps.
So I don't know. I feel like for those who are kind of like wanting to like get involved with a community or something, but they feel like awkward or socially awkward or whatever, it's like, yeah, so is everybody else. So just join the fun. The pool, jump in the pool. The water's warm.
Yeah, so my goal this year has been specifically to engage in the community a little bit more. I just got into development about 3 years ago or so. So I'm now at the point where I'm trying to get into the community a little bit more. And really and truly, the only way to do that is to throw yourself out there. You know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, so that's actually really true. I've really only been involved in the PHP community side of things for, I guess, 2-3 years now or so. I just kind of like showed up and started doing things, and people started taking me seriously for some reason. I'm sure I've disappointed them. really all you have to do for the PHP community in particular is just show up and start doing things, and people just really appreciate the fact that you even take the time to show up and have a conversation.
Absolutely.
Ben Edmonds, you should talk. We will pretend that we're understanding you and just nod our head and smile. So go ahead.
So, this is awkward, right? Are you nodding? There's a lot of lag, so I can't even tell like if you're nodding until 5 minutes.
I agree.
Later. So I'm going to pretend you're nodding.
Ben, just so you know, 9 foot you is amazing.
I love that you're taking up the entire wall here. It's lovely.
Technicolor Ben.
Chatting to us with emoticons.
Okay, so I don't know who out there in the crowd is still listening to us. If you have stuck around this long, all right, we got a few. Thank you so much. But we would love to invite any of you to come up here and talk a little bit about what you're doing with PHP, the community, or anything in between. Joe, are you volunteering to come up? I guess Mr. Joe, Ferguson is returning.
Joe Ferguson is bringing his computer for a second round of the PHP Town Ugly Hall.
We could do PHP Round Ugly.
PHP Round Ugly. We all start with PHP. That's the important
part.
Yeah,
so I feel like that's inclusive,
sorry,
right?
I was actually reviewing a pull request.
Oh, you were re-ruling a pull request. That's very responsible of
wait,
you.
Wait, did your GitLab-y thing get merged, by the
no,
way?
I no? I haven't heard about that yet. They haven't declined that yet. I should probably talk that into a...
Did you...
Sorry, yes, I submitted a GitLab merge request. It's not a pull request there. It is a merge request.
Did you get rebase?
I got a. I did not rebase. I did get a shiny sticker. It is right there. It's pretty awesome. It's a hologram.
I think you should send a rebase request.
A rebase request. Do they take... Is that? That's not even a thing, man.
It should be a thing. Rebase is better than merge.
Oh, hey, look at that. There's another sticker.
And Joe Ferguson now has a PHP Ugly sticker.
I have a PHP Ugly sticker, yes. Congratulations. Is it based on GitHub? You? Oh, yes, you can rebase.
Justin says you can rebase on GitHub.
Sorry, yes, I was in the middle of a pull request and also talking conference stuff with Phil, so... Oh, you wanted me to talk about actually something. I was just up here talking and raising a hand because Amanda said something. Samanda? Sure, why not? Sure. Yes, yeah, so I was up here talking about Ozmi earlier, and we have not had any donation requests come in, so I'm going to talk about Ozmi again. Just kidding. Open source projects. I would like to talk about the open source project and to prophesize our Lord and Savior Vagrant.
Oh dear. So this is great. There needs to be a Dragon Man Tank on Twitter coming up here to talk about Docker and versus a Vagrant. This should be a legit thing. This could outlast too long.
I don't know that we want to go that far.
AV guy. Oh, he's got his own mic. He's in control. Him and Tim Little.
We can't hear you. Stand up when you talk to me.
Tim's like, I have no control over this.
Say that to his knees.
Don't say that to my knees.
Joe is wrong.
Okay. All right. So, okay.
Just in general.
Why?
No.
It's not even how you say my name.
Let's avoid this as long as we possibly can.
So, wait a minute. Okay, so just to be clear, just to clarify, Joe Ferguson is one of the maintainers of Laravel Homestead, which is Vagrant Box, and a lot of people use it.
Excuse me, it's not just a Vagrant Box, it is the artisanal development environment?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant to say, it just came out wrong.
You're giving me
but... But Dragon Man Tank on Twitter, Chris, what's your last name, Chris?
Jesus, Chris. Sammy.
I know, I just said it like, oh, Tankersley. So this guy wrote Docker for Developers, a book about Docker, and is the go-to person about Docker in this room at the moment. So, okay, why are you better than him, and why is he better than you?
Joe written a book?
Hey, Joe. Them's fighting words.
It's not my microphone. You'll have to deal with Heather and Eli if you drop it.
The question is, have I written a book? I have not, in fact, written a Docker book.
Oh. Have you written a Vagrant book?
I have not written a Vagrant book either because I'm too busy building shit and making money.
I do the same thing with Docker and have a book. I win, I think.
This conversation is going well.
It's not going well at all.
I love
PSR
you, Joe.
8,
I
Amanda
told you this suggests, wasn't going to translate hugging. Well.
PSR 8, you guys. PSR 8.
That's the huggable interface. The huggable interface for hugging.
Which I'm pretty sure we're abandoning, interface. Right?
This was a really good idea to have this conversation. It's going well. You were talking about open source and maintaining an open source project.
Yes. I helped contribute and maintain the Homestead Laravel environment, which is the standard Vagrant environment if you are using the Laravel PHP framework. I am a big fan of Vagrant. I cut my teeth on it in the wee early days before Vagrant was really any good. So I feel like I earned my stripes in the trenches of Vagrant when it was terrible. And you can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Just because I have lots of hard drive space and the Docker people hate on me for all my hard drive space. That's actually what Chris's problem is he just hates that I have a large hard drive.
I'm going to point out that Joe has purchased my book twice.
I have purchased his book twice because I feel bad for his wife. I'm sorry, I love you, Chris.
Do you want us to sit up here and believe that you have never typed in the command Docker up or Docker compose up at one time?
I cannot confirm nor deny the fact that there is a pull request in some branch of Homestead where everything is called Docker. Where it's serve Docker, artisan serve Docker. I have some amazing contributors to the project. I hope he eventually sees this. I hope this episode makes it out past this show, because Roberto Aguilar, if you can see this, this guy is awesome. He helps me contribute to Homestead. He is a developer down in Mexico. Yes, see if you can get this, Tim. If you can, no big deal. He is a developer down in Mexico. He does not have the ability to travel to the U.S., so he can't come to tech. I tried to get him to come so we could hang out and I could buy him a beer. But this is some random guy who is on the internet and started contributing back to Homestead. So if you're ever thinking you can't contribute back to Homestead or to any open source project, you totally can. There is something out there where you can contribute back to.
Thank you for Homestead.
You're welcome. Yes. Homestead is a labor of love. I really, really love Homestead. I actually have put in a lot of work to get the VirtualBox, VMware and Parallels support back up and running. We supported VMware for a while, and then it broke. And it was something that Taylor just never had time to fix, so I actually spent some time and went and fixed it. So now we actually have support VirtualBox, VMware. I keep saying VirtualBox. It supports VirtualBox, VMware, and Parallels. We did have a brief stint of Hyper-V support, and Hyper-V is really, really awesome. It's the fastest I've ever seen Homestead run, except that Vagrant likes to break things on Windows. So every other build, something horrible would break, and I just couldn't fix it because I'm not a big enough Ruby developer. So it was kind of frustrating, so I had to drop support for that. But we'll see if I can get it back.
Thank you again, Mr. Joe Ferguson.
Yes.
Really appreciate it. Round two is always good. So we are kind of running close to time. I only know that because my GoPro ran out of memory. But I would like to, if I may be so bold, to... Derek Rathans. Derek. Hey, Derek. Would you like to come up and talk a little? You would not like to talk a little bit. I would love to have you up here if you would love to. You know, I kind of knew that was going to happen, but I thought I would try anyway. It's always good to have Derek on. This man's such a genius. So, does anybody else have anything they want to add? You guys haven't spoken much. What's up?
This is pretty much how our show goes. We there's a lot of editing, not a lot productive said. I got a question for you. How long, of all of us up here, you've definitely been doing the podcast thing the longest. How long has PHP Town Hall been going for?
Ben, how long has PHP Town Hall been going for?
I'm sorry, PHP Roundtable.
Oh. I am so curious, though.
Well, we could fight, actually, because who started first?
Oh, did he say
answer?
Did anybody understand what he said?
Fight.
No, it happens all the time. I actually call my own podcast PHP Town Hall like on multiple occasions, and I got a Twitter notification when I was out like dancing, and it was like PHP Town Hall, PHP Roundtable is about to start live right now. I was like, oh crap, it's not. And then it was PHP Town Hall. So people get it mixed up all the time.
So how long have you been doing PHP Roundtable?
So I started in 2014, right after a PHP Tech of 2014, and it was in August. So we're coming up on maybe 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. But you guys have a ton of episodes.
Yeah, we just, again, not a lot said. We just record a lot. That doesn't mean anything. You've had a lot of, just about everybody in the PHP community you've had on your show, though.
I would love for that to happen, for everybody in the community to eventually be on the PHP Roundtable. That'd be awesome. It's definitely one of the goals. I think Ben just posted the...
I guess the first episode was in October of 2012, and Taylor Otwell was the first guest.
I was actually getting to you guys. Yeah. So now you guys are doing a reboot here, right? You took a little hiatus, and the two of you have started up PHP.
Yeah. No, it's totally my fault that we don't podcast more often, because I've been busy. And then he went to Italy.
Well, we're happy to have you back.
So I think you can tell that we got a bunch of hosts trying to interview each other, and we're like, enough about me. What about you? Enough about me. What about you? So it's not really happening. So. PHP Ugly. How did that get started?
I think the story I normally tell people is all three of us were, there are three of us typically, and we were all in the same user group. We would typically meet up before our user group and have some beers and just start talking about what's going on in tech, what's going on in PHP, and other members would come and just kind of giggle, like, you guys need to start recording what you're saying because you're idiots. And other people should know about it. And so we're like, sure.
That's awesome.
and he's the quiet one, obviously. All right, awesome. So is that it? Are we done?
I think we're done. That's been a lot of stuffs and
cool.
A lot of things and a lot of people and things and stuffs. Does anybody have any final thoughts on the inner tubes? Or?
Thanks, everybody, for another great PHP tech. I had a fantastic time. I look forward to next year. And I have stickers. If anybody wants a sticker, feel free to
ask myself or John, and we got stickers.
All right, people are excited about stickers. Thank you so much for listening to us blather at you for over an hour. Thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for listening to everybody who's going to listen to this in the future.
And just as I predicted, last year we had a bunch of people in the room who are playing games and not paying a single bit of attention to the people on the stage, which is exactly how it should be. That's exactly how it should be.
This is typically how our show goes. People just don't pay attention. Exactly. We just kind of like background noise.
It's great. It's great. But I would say this year there's been more people paying attention than last year. And last year, every time there was somebody would say something that would be like kind of, you know, agreeable, somebody would like win something in a game and you would get this whole section go cheer and they'd be like, yeah. And we'd be like, they're not even paying attention. So I think this year we didn't even have that going on, but we had more people paying attention. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you folks in the next episode.
I'm John Congdon. I'm out.
PHP Roundtable is recorded live using Google Hangouts On Air. If you'd like to get more information about the live broadcasts, visit phproundtable.com. While you're on the site, join the mailing list to get notified about the next live episode. And hey, maybe even join the conversation at the roundtable. We'd love to hear what you have to say. The theme music is provided by BenSound at bensound.com. The PHP Roundtable logo was designed by Clint McManaman, and you can find him at mcmanaman.co. That's mcmanaman.co. Thanks for listening. I'm Sammy K. Powers, and I hope you'll join us for the next episode.